Next on BYUSN, Kevin Young finalizes his assistant coaching with the hiring of John Lenihan. Who is he? What do we make of the five assistant coaches? Another one of those new assistants, Will Voigt, breaks down why he chose to come to BYU from the G League and the defensive philosophy he's bringing to Provo.
Here's the debate today. Is BYU football hosting four of the top five Big 12 teams in Provo this season a good thing? Might sound like it, but is it really? Plus, we dive into an all-new Deep Blue with long-distance runners and brothers Creed and Davin Thompson. And today's matchup in BYUSN's best quarterback bracket features the great Mark Wilson and the Dominator, Brandon Doman, two signal callers with very different styles who both won a lot of games.
How about that matchup, man? Welcome to the BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, June 6th, D-Day, the 80th anniversary of that incredible, incredible day. I am Jerem Jordan. He is aspiring caddy, Dave McKinn.
There's a lot of pressure on being a caddy. Let me show you a picture from Austin Colley that was tweeted out by the PGA as they are in Ohio at the Memorial this week on the tour. So in there, in the middle, is Austin, our BYU TV football analyst. And then there's Peyton Manning, there's Rory McIlroy, pretty good golfer, actor Chris Pratt, Anthony Gonzalez, who Austin actually caddied for Anthony. And then Austin tagged with the comment, as a caddy, you got to be okay with living in the shadows. And that's new for Austin Colley, because he was rarely in a shadow in his career. And of all those guys, none of them were crazy enough to go over the middle more than Austin Colley. And Peyton Manning cast in on that as well. But clearly, he's got to get better friends. He's got to get some new friends.
Why isn't he playing? No, that's a fun group. And there was this clip from Parks and Rec that Jackson Payne of the Deseret News posted out yesterday, where Chris Pratt's character in Parks and Rec talks about Austin Colley. And so it's like, hey, they finally connected and hung out, which is really fun.
Yeah, that's cool. What a great day.
Would you caddy for someone famous if it gave you the opportunity to hang out at Muir Field or something like that?
Sure.
I would too. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm capable of like giving any good advice, but I can carry the clubs.
Dan Forsman once caddied for me at a tournament over at Riverside. And by the second hole, I think he just wanted to leave.
He's like, hey,
I can't have my reputation attached to what you're doing.
Sullied with this event.
But a lot of pressure, but good to see Austin. We'll see him around the corner here as we're
gonna
kick off football.
We're going to see a little more of Austin, which is great. He's doing a great job. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
And I was blown away by his presentation.
His number one priority of this spring was get back to running the football the way we have in the past.
Retaining Dallin Hall, retaining Richie Saunders, retaining Bruce Treor. Retention is what garners attention.
Kevin Young and BYU men's basketball announced the hiring of John Lenihan. No, not that Johnny Lenihan. John Lenihan, as an assistant coach yesterday, comes to BYU after a couple of seasons at St. Joseph's. Previous stops at Georgia, Hartford, Brown, Drexel. He and Kevin Young got to know each other in the summer of 2015 as well. Lenihan spent a summer as a volunteer assistant with the Delaware 87ers, which is actually the circle of BYU basketball. We'll dive into that in a second. Kevin Young had this to say about John Lenihan. John comes to BYU after working for two coaches I have great respect for in Billy Lang and Tom Crean. He's an exceptional player development coach who has worked with some of the game's great players. John will help our guys get better every day with his energy and passion for development. John's one of the best defensive players in NCAA history and will bring that edge to our program. Dave, what's your reaction to the fifth and final assistant coach hire?
If you're looking for the two words to describe what Kevin Young wants in his staff, it's player development. He uses that in the description you just said. He also used it with Tim Fanning. This, it's great for player development. And even with the others, Will Voigt, you go back to Chris Burgess and Brandon Dunson, so the earlier hires, it's all about player development. These two, most recently announced, fit that perfectly. And we are seeing that athletes want to go play for guys who will develop them.
Absolutely.
For the NBA.
Yeah.
I remember Kevin Young's opening remarks at the Marriott Center. He said, hey, I want BYU to be a place where kids come and get ready and go to the NBA.
I think he said the best place.
Might have said the best place.
Like, he wants this to be the spot.
Yeah. And so then you build your staff to support that. And the kind of talent that we have seen signing up to play or coming in to take a look at, unprecedented in program history over the last 3-4 weeks. And so, this Linehan fits the mold of a guy who said, I'm going to develop you for the next level, and that's why you want to come to BYU.
Let's talk about who he is. First off, one of the greatest defenders ever. Let's put some numbers on this. Played at Providence, finished his career with 385 steals. This is back in the day where you only played 4 years. 385 was the Division I record for 20 seasons. Kobe Bryant in 2001, during the NBA Finals, was asked who the best defender he'd ever played against was. And he said, funny enough, it's this guy I played against in high school named John Linehan. Wow. This is who that guy is in Philadelphia. So coached Anthony Edwards at Georgia, the number one pick later, making a huge splash in the NBA now. Yeah. Yes. Played professionally, mostly in France. Will Voigt is going to coach the defense, it sounds like. John Linehan's going to contribute on that, and absolutely that's where his strength was. So now BYU has five assistants, and they did not have five last year, by the way. They could have had a fifth. They chose to have four. Now you got a full coaching staff of assistants. You still have some other spots to either announce retention or new guys, TBD in the next while, right? But, yeah, Brandon Dunson from Stanford, Chris Burgess from Utah, Will Voigt comes over with incredible experience as the Austin Spurs G League coach. Tim Fanning's been with Overtime Elite, 16 to 20-year-old league in Atlanta. Alex Starr, the number one pick in the NBA draft coming up in a couple of weeks, probably was in that group. And now John Linehan from St. Joseph's. This is a staff unlike any other in BYU history in any sport, Dave.
With the exception of Burgess, it's like, who are these guys to the fan base? And we really won't know until the opener on November 5th as they call a timeout and start coaching. Because most everyone doesn't get to go to practice and see them work. We might get in on a few and watch them do their thing. But there's great mystery and excitement about this staff because most of us hadn't heard of any of them except for Burgess. And now here they are all dialed in on BYU. And as you mentioned, they each bring something significant to the table. For a coach who's never coached here, it just adds, I think that's part of the excitement of the summer, is the drama of all these guys could probably walk past you at Harmon's and just keep walking.
You're not exactly sure.
I don't know who that guy is.
Is that Will Voigt? I thought I saw Will Voigt on BYU Sports Nation.
Kevin Young is still, he can still get around town without people going, hey, you're the coach. Those days will come to an end. But right now, the newness and the freshness coming out of a disappointing loss to Duquesne, which was really the last time we saw the product on the floor, has been, I think, the big catalyst in this shift of, are we a basketball school or a football school? That kind of topic.
It's a running school, Dave. Johnny Linehan, by the way, tweeted the following. Now I won't look like a complete weirdo when I wear my jersey to the game. People will just think I'm supporting the coach. They'll still think you look like a weirdo, but not because of the jersey.
If you could just be saved by that, Johnny, you'd be set. But there's going to be a lot of fun with the two Linehans.
They have to do something together at some point. We'll figure that out. Robbie McCombs, who writes for Vanquish the Foe, he's been all over BYU basketball stuff throughout the summer. He tweeted this. I really like this. BYU's five assistants and resume snapshot.
Okay.
Like you talked about, the variety here. Dunson, experienced college assistant, deep West Coast ties, recruited Mag and Crawford to BYU. So there you go. Chris Burgess, arguably the best recruiter of LDS talent in the country, big man developer, brought Kaba. Will Voigt, experience at all levels of basketball around the world, Olympic head coach, inventor of Peel switch defense. My conversation with Will Voigt coming up in the next segment. Tim Lanning, deep international connections, coached and developed multiple top 10 NBA draft picks. And John Linehan, one of the best defenders in NCAA history, decade of college coaching experience, Northeast connections, coached Anthony Edwards in college. By the way, BYU playing at Providence. That'll be a fun storyline for John Linehan. This is a staff that clearly is going to scour the globe for talent and domestically. And like you said, unprecedented amount of recruiting in that you're getting Russian superstar projected lottery pick. We've never had a guy like that here who had no connections to Utah or BYU or the church in any way.
Right.
And then you have number one recruit in the country for next year on campus this week, which is incredible. So the ambition level and the aim of BYU basketball is extremely high right now, and that will cash in. It's not just pipe dreams and, oh, we just got this one guy.
Yeah.
There's going to be multiple guys that come in. Hopefully it's this class, but I see every year BYU is going to get the types of guys they've never gotten before. And you hope to retain the Brody Kozlowskis of the world.
That list you showed of the assistants is exactly what Kevin Young said he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's inspiring right there. Yep. I'm going to do this, and then he does it. And then he says he's going to get the best players who want to come to BYU. He appears to be in the process of doing that. And you love it when a guy says, here's what I'm going to do, and then he goes and does it.
And what angles aren't covered with this staff, by the way?
Yeah.
I think the amount of coverage of types of things you need from coaches in recruiting on the court, off the court, are awesome at this point.
So it's basketball and it's football, and the team for football reports for camp next month. So that's how fast summer's moving along. Here's a question to consider, and we'll go back and forth on this. BYU football, the fall schedule, pretty good at home. They're hosting four of the top five Big 12 teams as far as the projections go as we sit today. The more you think about it and you stare at it and you look at the teams, is that a good thing to have four of the top five teams come into your place this fall? Or would you rather see it even reverse and have teams that you know you can beat come in?
That's the argument, right? We're talking about Kansas State, Arizona, Oklahoma State, Kansas. The other one would be at Utah, right? That's not at home. Who could be the preseason pick to
possibly
win.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I'm filling out my media poll right now for the Big 12 football stuff. They have a coaches poll. They have a media poll. I didn't know they had a media poll. Now, I think I just forgot to weigh in on it last year, but I'm filling it out now. Okay, two sides of the argument, so pick which one you want. For the top five teams at home, gives us a better chance to beat better competition,
right.
Better games at home. You talked about on our call this morning, hey, we've longed for an even better schedule at home. Why wouldn't we embrace this, right?
Yeah.
Yet I see the argument on the road of like, well, I want the most winnable games at home to ensure winning. Because what is this year about? It's, we got to get to a bowl game. At least.
Right.
And at most, hopefully we go, you know, eight wins would be great. So I could see the argument for both. I'm actually going to side on the, it's not about the entertainment value. It's about the end game to me. It's about getting to a bowl game. I would rather have more winnable games at home like Baylor, UCF, Arizona State, those three specifically. Utah at home, obviously, is always fun. At Utah is pretty fun, too. There have been some great memories for BYU fans there as well. Some not-so-good ones, too. I'm going to argue that, hey, I would actually rather have the worst schedule at home because those are still compelling Big 12, Power 5 important games when we're talking about actually winning. But of those four that we're talking about, Spencer and I both agree that BYU will pull off at least one upset of those teams, if not two.
I'm going to stick with the schedule as it is. I think it's better to have those teams here. And there's a couple of reasons. First, Kansas State, Arizona, and Oklahoma State all come in before October 19th. Now, last year, BYU's 5-2 going to Texas on October 28th. Quarterback gets hurt, wheels come off. The challenge for BYU in this evolution to P5 football is health.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it in, even as an independent. They are more healthy before October 19th than they have been, you know, at least on paper and in the last dozen years.
Typically, yeah.
So if you're going to play those teams, you want to play them early, and then you get to play them at home, then your chances of going at them full speed go up.
Yeah.
And so I like that. You got to ask yourself, was it more fun to watch BYU lose to Oklahoma on November 18th than it was on November 19th the year before when they beat Utah Tech? And so do you want the major games
question.
At home, win or lose? Do you want those at home to just participate in, or do you want the others?
Are we talking, and this is what I brought up, are we talking about entertainment value or winning?
Well,
that's the question,
I think it's tied together because we're paying for the entertainment value.
Yeah. Well, you and I aren't.
The downside, but we spend, 18 hours at the stadium on game day.
Paying with
There's
time.
A price. But the downside is that we watched Iowa State come in here and pound BYU in front of a full house. BYU fans don't like to watch losing. They're not used to watching losing like that at home. So you're going to have to get used to that. But then you just ask yourself.
I'll never be used to that.
You have to ask yourself. Do I want those kind of games where we might, if we don't bring our A game, we're going to get beat?
Yeah.
As opposed to play those games somewhere else and bring in a lesser squad. Now, in a conference, it's this or that, right? It would be a good schedule if Baylor's coming in here as opposed to us going to Baylor. But I also like the fact that Arizona State and Baylor are winnable road games.
Those are winnable road games. They'd be even more winnable if they were at home.
Right.
That's the side I'm on of, I want to get to a bowl game more than I want to be entertained in losses. Does that make sense? But I want it all, though. We all do.
Well, we want it
we
all.
Want to be entertained and win compelling home games.
Hey, look.
Because those are good home games. They
Oklahoma
really are.
Oklahoma State comes in. BYU had them down 24-6 at halftime in Stillwater
Don't
with the young quarterback.
I've tried to forget that.
Arizona comes in. They got a new coach. They got some good players, but they got
really
a new coach.
Really talented team. Yeah.
But they're coming to Provo, and they're playing a really good talented team. You want to be at that game. You want Jets to fly over that game, and then you want fireworks, and you want to – that those are the moments, and you can get them every Saturday, and it just lines up that way. And assure you, I'd rather have Utah at home than anyone at home. But as it stands, playing those three games earlier, I just think I think that's good for us. I think BYU – I don't think 4.5. You know, I think more than that. We're thinking 6 and 7, and then if your quarterback is settled in and playing well – you got to shot it. You got to shot a bunch of these home games.
It's still not crazy ambitious, which is disappointing. But BYU needs to go to a bowl game this year. So we'll see. And this is our question of the day, which is interesting that 4 of the top 5 are at home. It's not like it's split up in some way. It is imbalanced quite a bit.
Well, let me throw this last curveball in and drive our producer nuts.
I'll try and hit it.
If you're playing 4 of those 5 on the road, do you have a chance of beating any of them?
It's so certainly less.
If you swap it out, if you got them at home, you got a shot at 1 or 2, maybe 3.
A better shot.
But if you swap it out and all those are road games, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's our second question. our first question today is playing 4 of the 5 best Big 12 teams, this is per FPI, at home more helpful or harmful to BYU football's chances to make a bowl game? Bobby Daly on X. Helpful. If we can knock off 1 or 2 of those teams at home, I hope that gives the team confidence playing other teams on the road. I don't think there's any doubt that we all believe that BYU will pull off at least 1 of those 4. I don't see BYU going 0-4. If they do, you may not make a bowl game. Like, you're in real danger there. But if you can pull off, like, a second, like last year, if you beat Oklahoma, you're in a bowl game. The narrative of the offseason is different. If you hold the lead against Oklahoma State, 7 wins, the narrative is different. Is it enough to make the changes that you wanted to make changed in terms of O-line and tight end coach? I'm not sure. That would have changed things. But
second-year quarterback who takes care of the football is a game-changer in all those games. And whether that happens, we'll see. But we'll have a second-year quarterback in Jake Retzlaff. It won't be his debut.
Yes.
And historically, for a BYU quarterback, that's usually good.
Yes, it is. And if it's Gary Bohannon, it will have been – if he plays against Southern Illinois, it'll be 686 days between games. It's like he went on a mission.
Right. And if he plays.
Which we're used to, but we don't throw those guys in at quarterback.
If he plays great, we're in business.
Absolutely. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Hey, join us tomorrow for a special Deep Blue featuring incredible stories from football players and coaches, including Cody Epps, Jay Hill, Eddie Heckard. Friday, noon Eastern, BYU TV, BYU Radio, a special BYU Sports Nation Deep Blue.
Will Voigt's one of the newest additions to the men's hoop staff. He's been all over the world, from coaching against Jimmer in China to leading Nigeria to the Olympics. His story and the defense he invented after the break as BYU Sports Nation continues.
As I mentioned before, there's a lot of coaches that want to come team up with us here.
Will Voigt is a defensive-minded tactician.
So I want guys in here that are going to help get them better, that are going to develop them.
Develop is the word, is it not? As we talked about, every single coach in the press release. These are all developers of good basketball players. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live in Studio B. Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann. After a slew of assistant coach hirings, 3 in fact this week, it's about time we get to know some of these guys. We begin with Will Voigt, who I spoke to yesterday afternoon. All right, Will, welcome to BYU Sports Nation. Thanks for joining the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Your passport's incredible. First off, where's your favorite place that you visited that's kind of been the most unique in terms of culture and food and language in your exploits so far all over the globe?
Wow. You know, it's hard to pick one. I've been really fortunate. Most of the jobs that I've had have taken me to some pretty special places. I loved Cairo. You know, I coached in the Ball, which is the NBA Africa League, and coached a club called Zamalek, which is one of the largest fan bases in the entire Middle East. And, you know, not only just the energy of the supporters, but the city itself was pretty special. So I'd probably put that one near the top.
If you can coach against opposing fan bases who might have flares or throwing nickels, you can coach in the Big 12, right?
Yeah, it's safe to say that I've probably seen it all, and I'd be shocked if there's something a Big 12 school could do that that would intimidate me.
Yeah, Iowa State's going to be tame compared to this Kansas and so on. It'll be fun. Okay, what's the relationship and connection with Kevin Young? Why was this a draw to be here with Kevin at BYU?
Yeah, well, Kevin and I used to coach against each other. So, you know, before the G League, it was called the D League. And he was with the Utah Flash, and I was coaching the Bakersfield Jam. And, you know, back then there was only maybe 16 teams. So if you had, you know, the teams in your conference, you played a lot. So we got to, you know, got to know each other through that. And then he ended up working for one of my assistant coaches in Delaware. And then when he was promoted to head coach, he hired another one of my assistant coaches. So, you know, there's a lot of crossover. He worked for Brett Brown with the Sixers, and Brett's in San Antonio now. And yeah, there are a lot of things that kind of have connected us through the years. You know, when he got the position, he reached out and had a compelling, you know, sales pitch to me, and, you know, just seemed like a great opportunity to be a part of.
I flash back when you mentioned that you were coaching against Kevin with Bakersfield in Utah. You know, there was a little tussle with Musselman, I think, and Kevin. There was never a tussle with you, I assume?
No. Yeah, it's funny too, because Jordan Brady, you know, was also a part of that little scuffle. So we're gonna have to bring that up, actually.
That video makes me laugh, and it shows me the fire of Kevin Young, which, by the way, Eric Musselman was in this string of dominoes from coaching vacancies and whatnot. So I just had to chuckle about that one, which is pretty funny. Okay, you've invented a defense. It's called Peel Switch. When I watch it, it makes total sense. And I've read and seen where you talked about, you had a player on your Angola national team who was getting a little older, struggled on on-ball defense, and that his teammates were just kind of naturally doing this. And then you've kind of developed this into a philosophy. Tell us a little bit more about that and how you hope to implement that as the defensive coordinator at BYU.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've done your homework. That's where it originated. You know, like a lot of things in basketball, you know, it's nobody has an original thought on their own, right? You see somebody else doing something, it makes your brain start to wonder. So it really stemmed from that. It was a work in progress, you know, throughout my time with the national team, especially because, you know, national team settings, you come together and then they go to their pro teams. And so it's not like you have a consistent time frame to really implement. So in the early days, it was a lot of trial and error. But, you know, I felt that it played to the strengths of that group. And as I did it more, I could sort of see the applications to really any group. So it's been fun. You know, it's been fun to see how it's evolved and, you know, to see, you know, teams all the way up to the NBA adopting a lot of those principles. So, you know, to just stumble across it, really kind of luckily in Angola, and see where it is now has been a pretty wild, wild ride.
So you coach the Nigerian national team to the 2016 Olympics in Rio. You coach Angola to the FIBA World Cup. What was it like to coach national teams in Africa to some of the highest levels of basketball? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable experiences. So, you know, I had done camps in Africa and had some experience on the continent before, but the Nigerian national team really came out of nowhere. I had two national team players that had played for me in Bakersfield back in the D League days, and they had presented my candidacy to the Federation. But, you know, that's a program with three, you know, current NBA head coach and two former NBA coaches that also coached there. So at the time, you know, it was really something I'd never thought about, but unbelievable experience, great group of guys. And, you know, to be the only team in that country's proud history to ever win, you know, an Afro basket, an African championship, is something I'm very, very proud of. So, you know, that led into the Angola opportunity. We beat Angola in 2015 to win that championship. So when my contract had run out, they had reached out immediately. But those atmospheres are so special and so unique. And, you know, really any of the national team stuff, when you're representing an entire country, it's just a whole nother level. So to have been a part of that on two occasions and taking those teams to, you know, the highest of competition you could, is something that I'm really always going to be proud of.
And then you go to, you're in China, one of your stops, and one Jimmer Fredette is, what he put up 70 in a game at one point. We love the Jimmer, of course. What was it like to compete against him and try and scout against him defensively?
Well, funny enough, my first year in China, I suggested to our club that we look at Jimmer. And, you know, they decided to do something else, which was fine. But so my second season was his first year in Shanghai. And obviously, yeah, I mean, that huge game he had, I believe, was after I left. But he was already in his first season. You could see everything on display and, you know, knew he's going to be able to score at a really high level and, you know, had a lot of success over there. So it was fun to watch him do his thing there.
What was your perception of kind of what BYU is and what you've kind of thought about the brand and the team and the school over historically?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's familiar with the brand. And, you know, a lot of my NBA friends, when I got the position, talked about how, you know, last year in Kansas, there somehow were 4,000 screaming BYU fans. So, right, like you can get a hold of that ticket. I think that speaks volumes. But I had had one of my former assistants, Brian Dignan, had played here. I have friends who coach in the WCC who had talked about it. So I think the atmosphere is well known throughout all of basketball, whether you're in the, you know, pro game or college game. So, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for that and the love of the game in this area and the fan support. And, you know, obviously as we transition to the Big 12 and, you know, continue to hopefully be successful there, you know, we're building on that tradition to reach even higher, you know, new heights.
Okay. The team has gathered many of the team, not every single player quite yet, but most of the team is practicing this week and getting some summer workouts in. What's it been like with this group as you not only are introducing yourselves and your schemes, but kind of forming the team that is the team you'll compete with this fall?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's great to get to know these guys, to be able to see them in person, see what they can do in person. You know, obviously, I've watched as much as I can on film of them, but it's always a different perspective once you get around them. So I think that's where we're at right now is sort of, you know, getting a feel for them, their strengths, areas that they need some improvement, and then introducing just some basic concepts to them right now. But, you know, it's still very much a work in progress and, you know, we're going to be careful not to skip any steps in that. So, you know, I think the summer is really going to be spent on getting to know each other more than anything else, which is fine. You know, I don't think we're in a rush to implement whatever system that we ended up going with.
Then in terms of roster, you have two scholarships left. Is there a focus to perhaps try and get at least one power forward or a big among those two scholarships left?
Yeah, you know, I mean, part of the challenge that we faced is that, you know, this staff, all of us came together late, you know. So in today's day of recruiting through the portal, we were behind. And you know, everybody's worked very hard to try to, you know, work around that. And we've been able to, obviously, with some of the signings that we've made. But that's, I think, where our approach is right now is, you know, who are the best players still out there and how do we make it fit rather than, okay, it's gotta be just this type of guy. You know, I think if we were here in, you know, together in beginning of March, now you can do it that way, right? Like, you know exactly what you need. You've already identified the guys who fit that. Whereas I think for us, it's, okay, is there still talent out there? Are we still able to be in the mix? And if we were to get this player, how do we make it all fit?
Like the NFL draft, Kuiper's best available. You know, it's like, hey, that guy, not exactly what we need, but he's awesome. Let's go get him. Yeah. Well, Will, I appreciate the time, man. Good to know you. Excited to have you at BYU, and I'll bring a couple ribeyes over soon enough.
That's right. Let's do this.
Will Voigt yesterday. He's right next to the grill they have on the patio. So we kind of chatted about some burgers and dogs.
So
and
to
some
get
steaks.
The sweet office, you also have to man the grill?
You might have to man the grill. Okay. Here's Will Voigt's resume. He's been in the Big 12 before with Texas, who's now in the SEC, 0-0-2. Metro State with Mike Dunlap, by the way, who was at LMU and then later in the NBA. Bakersfield Jam, as we talked about in the G League. And then he was an assistant in China. And then he goes over to the Bundesliga in Germany. He goes to Egypt. Then he's the G League coach of the Austin Spurs last year. I never thought we'd have G League head coaches coming to be assistants at BYU, but that's the case with Will Voigt. And his greatest accomplishment, I think, is helping coach Nigeria to the Olympics in 2016. That's pretty incredible.
I love his energy. Young guy, experienced with energy. What more could you want from one of your assistants?
And
He's
going to coach the defense, it looks like, too. Yeah. He invented that peel switch, like we talked about, which makes total sense. You get beat off the dribble. That guy goes to the guy that switched off.
Yeah, that's genius. Looking that's forward awesome. To that. We'll see him in action in November. By the way, there's a podcast we encourage you to check out, especially over the weekend when you have some time. It's the latest Her Why podcast. BYU women's soccer star Brecken Mazingo is in the spotlight, opens up about battling mental health challenges, struggling to find her self-confidence, but finding triumph along the way. It's a success story. You can find Her Why wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, which football opponent scheduled BYU as its homecoming game? Which Cougar took fourth at Track and Field Nationals yesterday? And could Dan Hurley potentially going to the Lakers affect BYU hoops in any way? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, we're everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Jerem Jordan. He is Dave McCann. Let's get to today's headlines.
Kevin Young and BYU men's basketball announced the hiring of John Linehan as assistant coach yesterday. Comes to BYU after spending the last two seasons as an assistant coach at St. Joe's. Previous stops as an assistant at Hartford and Georgia, the SEC. With Linehan being hired, Young now has filled all five of his assistant coaching spots.
At day one of the NCAA Track and Field Championships in Eugene, BYU thrower Danny Bryant finished fourth in the shot put in the country. Congratulations. Cameron Bates took eighth, both first-team All-Americans. James Corrigan took first in his heat and put up the fastest time in the steeplechase to advance to the finals. The rest of the championships continue today through Saturday, and the women begin today as well.
Kai Nakua named to the 2024 All-UFL team at safety for the Michigan Panthers. Nakua finished the season tied for first in the league with three interceptions and eight pass breakups, 43 tackles, couple tackles for loss, and a sack. And never forget the pick six against Boise State. Lavelle Edwards Stadium went absolutely bananas.
We forget that Nakua. Samson's on that team, too, by the way.
Two Nakuas are always better than one.
Yes. And Daniel Schneeman going to start his third game for the Guardians tonight against the Kansas City Royals. He'll bat seventh, play center field. He played second and shortstop in the first two games. And in the spirit of we can't say their name, but we can talk around a signee, there is a linebacker from UCLA, Elijah Bryant's brother, who is coming to BYU, multiple reports of the commitment, to bolster the linebacker room. We'll talk about him as soon as he's officially announced.
I bumped into him on his official visit.
Are you okay?
Over at Magleby's. He's
big dude.
Brick wall.
Big dude.
That's a guy that can compete for playing time.
That's awesome.
Speaking of bolster, use the right word for linebackers.
Let's go.
Big news.
Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Cougar Whip Around is presented by Marist, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
How about the Woj bomb we all woke up to this morning? From college basketball and the NBA, he says the Lakers are targeting UConn head coach Dan Hurley to be the franchise's next head coach. I don't know what's a better job right now, UConn in winning or the Lakers in what they're doing, but if he takes that job, what kind of domino effect could it have on college basketball?
I'm not implying in any way, shape, or form that the head coaching staff or the staff with BYU would be here. More players? Like, would UConn players be available in a way that maybe they weren't before?
They get 30 days.
A lot of talent. They have 30 days, right, to enter the portal. So there could be. We'll see if Hurley 1 takes the job. What happened to J.J. Redick? I thought that was yesterday's thing that he would make the podcast the actual Lakers team there with LeBron. We'll see what happens there. Certainly intriguing. If there's one job to kind of jump for, it'd be that. And you'd have the national championship coach from football and basketball go up, like Harbaugh for the Chargers.
Yeah, I saw on ESPN 69 head coaching changes this offseason. This would be number 70.
In men's hoops?
In men's hoops.
Out of 350.
So there was 63 last year.
360.
Hey, you want a job? You want a stable job? Stay in school.
Don't be a head coach.
Don't be a head coach.
Although there are millions of dollars available.
They're doing okay.
College football playoff release TV schedule for the 24-25 season. We have to kind of call it that now because it actually goes to January 20th.
Yeah.
Games will be played on every day except for Sunday. Are you cool with that schedule?
You know, I'm just glad the NCAA and the college football folks finally took Sunday play into account. Said, you know what, if BYU gets in, we don't have to move things around. Let's just stay off of Sunday. Not, they still don't do that in some of the sports. And with the NCAA tournament for basketball, it's always only a couple spots.
BYU, you know,
this, Cougars are clear to make the playoff. I was more surprised that they're going until January 20th. That just feels
pretty wild.
So late.
There's some Tuesdays and Wednesdays in there to accommodate New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, which is wild. But honestly, during Christmas break, give me all the football we can have.
Arizona State announced their homecoming game this year is going to be the BYU game on November 23rd. Do you like that? Homecoming, you can raise prices a little bit.
Typically in high school and sometimes college, you're like, oh, the worst team. We're going to, like, a winnable game's on homecoming. That's not the case. This could be a very winnable game for BYU on the road. November 23rd feels late for homecoming. Maybe they're waiting for it to cool down in Arizona.
I don't know, but they could also be doing a double homecoming. There's the homecoming for the Arizona State fans, and then there's the homecoming for the BYU fans.
All the fans in the Valley. We saw them in person in Phoenix. Oh, yeah. They were great.
They're buying up tickets left and right. It's going to be a – there's potential for a takeover in that stadium.
Shout out Mesa, Chandler, Gilbert, Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
My mom's old stomping grounds in Goodyear.
Throw Tucson
in
there. They'll drive up.
Oh, Tucson? Absolutely. That'll be awesome. After the break, Deep Blue features long-distance runners and twin brothers Creed and Davin Thompson. How running helped them navigate the loss of their father. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live from Studio B. Well, having lost their father to a terminal illness, Creed and Davin Thompson pushed each other and came together through competition. Now, the two of them and their sister have reached the lofty goals in athletics they're trying to reach. This is Deep Blue.
I've often said that to be an elite athlete of any kind, or specifically an elite runner, you need to choose your parents very carefully.
My dad's side of the family has been huge into wrestling, like multiple time state champs, and my mom got into running.
I've run a total of 49 half and full marathons.
There's definitely a lot of athletic genes that we've gotten.
There's a huge genetic component in being great, probably in anything, but specifically athletically and in particular distance running. I think anyone can become competent at distance running, but to become super elite, you need to have the right DNA.
So when Bryce and I were dating, he had informed me of the unusual amount of cancer that had been in his family up to that point. And it did concern me, but I guess I was naive and I just told myself, oh, well, if he ever gets cancer, like, there'll be a cure by then, or nothing bad will ever happen to us. If when you're just young and naive, you kind of don't believe that anything bad will ever happen to you.
They didn't want us to get the gene and die early from cancer, just like a lot of my family had. So they did in vitro.
They ended up implanting three So I got identical twin boys and then a girl.
The summer after fourth grade, he was getting like a bunch of like lumps and rashes everywhere, and he was really tired. And he kept going to the doctor and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And then one day, I think my mom and my dad were walking into the hospital and my dad just passed out.
He was diagnosed with leukemia and they did a lot of chemotherapy and they got him ready for a bone marrow transplant. About 75 days after the bone marrow transplant, he started having a lot of bone pain. And they did a bone marrow biopsy at that time and they found that the cancerous cells had come back. And this was very unusual because they were expecting to not even have to do another bone marrow biopsy or risk finding any cancer cells for 1 to 2 more years at least. I feel like that day was harder than the day he died because that was the day that we had to give up all hope.
Death in our family was like weirdly normal. This like impending doom feeling, just I knew it was always gonna happen and I didn't know when. We were kind of expecting it, like expecting our dad to get cancer eventually. So it wasn't really a surprise when it happened, but it was kind of like my stomach dropped and I was like, oh crap, like it's happening. Like I still wasn't really ready for it.
Before Bryce had lost consciousness, I had made him a few promises. Bryce really wanted me to be strong for the kids and to keep them motivated to keep doing their sports and to find things to be happy about. This is my life now, and I have to somehow make the best of it and show my kids that we can still find reasons to smile and be happy.
After my dad passed away, obviously it's like the hardest thing. It almost doesn't feel real. I think I learned a lot from it because I just learned how to get through hard times and to know that that's a part of life.
Watching him battle for 8 months in the hospital was really hard, and I knew how much he suffered, and he's doing it for us. I knew that like I needed to make the most out of my life and every day, because you never know when you're not going to be there. And I also just wanted to make him proud.
So my triplets kind of like delved into their sports like full force. That's what I feel helped them the most, to get through Bryce's death.
Sometimes I'll say I'm doing my gymnastics for him because it was like a huge turning point in my life. And I think it did make me work harder too, because I know that that's what he would have wanted.
Sage became an All-American her freshman year at Nationals on the uneven bars at the University of Utah.
Sage has, I feel like, a lot of the time been better at her sport respective to us. So I think that motivated me and Davin to work really hard, and knowing that she had done it, it's like, okay, well, now we have to do it.
Davin and Creed became All-Americans their sophomore year during cross-country nationals. It was the same calendar year, so it was 2022 that all of them became All-Americans.
Maybe I helped put that in their mind or help motivate them. Even if I hadn't, they're the most hardworking people I've ever met, and they always push me to work harder.
I mean, it was life as they knew it. They were going to go out and do the things that they wanted to. Their mother was very positive and supportive in terms of the good life that they could lead. I think it was a no-fear sort of environment where, hey, let's go out and do the things that we know that we can do, and we get this opportunity of life, let's make the most of it.
I look up to them so much as their mom. With everything that they've been through during their lives, you would never know it. You just think these are the happiest, sweetest, most disciplined, respectful kids with such good morals. They're really good friends, they're really loyal, and the athletic achievements that they've accomplished are actually just icing on the cake. What I'm most proud of is just who they are and what they've overcome to get there.
Davin Creed, All-Americans at BYU, Sage at Utah, now at Oregon State. An incredible story of overcoming real hardship early on, and they've thrived in NCAA athletics.
There's things you learn through losing a parent that you can't be taught any other way, and you're changed forever. And it's great to see them motivated by it to be good in their sport and life, and and we salute them.
Yeah, another great Deep Blue. Those are always compelling to watch. Coming up, who's advancing in our best quarterback bracket? Robbie Bosco and Jaren Hall, who's moving on. And today's matchup, Mark Wilson taking on the Dominator. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Going deep, touchdown.
Brandon Delman has become as dangerous a quarterback as any in the United States.
Mark Wilson, an All-American quarterback.
Delman should get some votes for Heisman.
Oh, we've got the quarterback matchup, the best quarterback bracket in BYU history. Going to take us through the month of June. We're going to throw out a matchup a day. Oh, we're getting intense with the music. Let's go. What is this, Monday Night Football? The top 16 seeds down to one, based on your votes on X and Instagram.
Yesterday, the matchup of Robbie Bosco and Jaren Hall was a landslide for Robbie Bosco.
Mm.
National champion, he picked up 72% of the vote.
Pretty good.
So Robbie's moving on to the second round. There it is, in real time.
There he goes.
Moving
and that's
in.
About how fast Robbie moved in the 1984 National
but
Championship.
But his knee was
game.
Sore. His knee was sore.
Ankle, knee.
By the way, Blaine Fowler was ready to come in.
Yes, he was.
And help him advance.
Yes, he was.
Spot.
Okay, today's matchup, we got another good one. Mark Wilson, the 5 seed. 12 seed, Brandon Doman. This is March Madness, people like a 12 over a 5, Dave. They really do. Tell us about Mark Wilson and the amazing career he had.
Love this matchup. Mark Wilson was fantastic. We'll go over some of his bullet points. 1975 to 1979. Cougars went 12-1 in 1979 in their first Holiday Bowl. Missed a 27-yard field goal, and that cost Wilson a perfect season. Dang it. Passed for over 7,000 yards, 61 touchdowns. Both are top 10 in program history. All-American in 79. Third in the Heisman voting in 79. The WAC Offensive Player of the Year in 79. College football and BYU Hall of Famer. By the way, he beat out Jim McMahon to start in 1979. 15th overall pick by the Raiders in 1980. Won 2 Super Bowls as a backup quarterback. And look at all this. How in the world is Brandon Doman going to take down Mark Wilson?
Let me tell you about the Dominator. Played from 98 to 01. Passed for 4,200 yards, 35 touchdowns, rating 152, 11 rushing touchdowns. Tied a BYU record, winning his first 14 games as a starter. Amazing. 12-2 in 01. They were 12-0. And then some injuries. In 2001, first team All-Mountain West semifinalist for the Davey O'Brien. Drafted in the 5th round by the Niners in the 2002 NFL Draft. To vote, make sure you go to BYU Sports Nation on social.
Think about it. If Luke Staley doesn't break his ankle against Mississippi State,
could have been very different.
They have a chance of running the table.
Very different.
Mark Wilson, 23-yard field goal missed by his kicker. He had a chance of running the table.
Yep. Two almosts in BYU history.
So go to at BYU Sports Nation on X or the BYU Sports Nation's Instagram story. Vote in the poll. The voting ends tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Mountain Time.
Okay. Our question of the day is, playing 4 of the 5 best Big 12 teams at home, helpful or harmful to BYU's football chances of making a bowl game? Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated. Zach Jensen on X. More helpful. And if most of those games are played after sunset, we're guaranteed a dub. There were a couple after sunset last year, but like since 2019, that number has really worked for BYU. Are you a I'm okay with 8:15 kicks at Lavelle Edwards Stadium guy?
I am in August and September because the temperature is perfect at that time. November, yeah.
Not so much?
Not so much. But we'll do it. I still remember the December 12th game.
It against was like San Diego State in 2020.
10 degrees or something like that. That will never happen.
Like, Jake Oldroyd basically kicks a rock 52 yards for a field goal right before the half. I was like, how did he do that? That ball had to be.
That was one cold one.
It had to be frozen, man. Cold one. Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion in Normandy and the beginning of what changed the world. And we salute all those who sacrificed their lives in the cause of freedom. And we'll see news stories and things throughout the day, especially on social media. And you know what? Hopefully it compels us just to be kinder
Yep.
To everybody, wherever we go.
An incredible sacrifice. Saving Private Ryan, that opening scene, unbelievable of what that could have been like. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're fortunate to have never experienced that.
Yes, we are.
And hopefully we never will.
The greatest generation, man. Well, thanks to today's guest, Will Voigt. Conversation continues 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, X, whatever it's called, Facebook. All of our shows on demand on BYUSN.com. Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time. We had a whole hour show, couldn't make it in.
Felt like we had an opportunity and that close.
For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Pete Skousen. Join us tomorrow for a Deep Blue special. Go Cougs.